Comfort for family, protection while we sleep. We pray for healing, for prosperity.
You know, this is Laura's story that gave rise to this song. Her husband, and she shared this with the world. Her husband had come down with an illness, a disease that was really, really shaking the family. I mean, to their core. And they prayed for healing. They prayed for healing, a miraculous healing. It didn't come the way they wanted it to come. It didn't come, the healing process didn't come the way they wanted it to come. It didn't come as soon as they wanted it to come. And they learned. They learned, and I really admire them for this, that just because a healing, for example, doesn't come the way we want it to, doesn't come when we want it to, that doesn't mean God is not being faithful. Very often, when we're going through these trials, these tests, God is truly helping us become more like His Son. Remember, the Lord Jesus suffered immensely in this earth, especially those last 8 days of His life. Those weren't the only times, because He knew that the religious leaders, the Pharisees, and many others were plotting His murder for a long time. But those last 8 days were especially tough for Him. He really suffered. Hebrews tells us that at one point, while He was praying to His Father in the garden, His stress was so great that He was literally sweating drops of blood. That's extreme stress, ladies and gentlemen, extreme. He suffered. And God makes it clear that He wants us to be like His only begotten Son, the only Son who came directly from Him. And then, later, came from a virgin as a result of the workings of the Holy Spirit, God the Spirit. This Son, who never sinned but suffered, set the example. And so God says we've been called to suffer. The Bible says those who will live godly in the earth must suffer persecution, must suffer. The Bible says it is the will of God that we suffer. So I know that there are some who teach that there's no need for saints to suffer, but that's not what God teaches. So don't be confused. Just stay with the scriptures. God teaches that suffering is part of life for the saints. And don't get me wrong. Everyone suffers whether we believe or not. Whether we follow the example set by Christ or not, everyone suffers. I've said this before. Everyone. No one goes through life without suffering. That is impossible. Impossible. Literally impossible. Yeah, if we live, we will suffer. But that includes the people of God. Laura and her husband learned that our suffering is not a sign that God is not with us. Our suffering is not necessarily a sign that we're doing wrong. Sometimes it is a sign that we are doing well. We just need to do even better. Abraham had been promised a son through whom eventually a descendant would come who would save the people from their sins. Abraham and Sarah received their promised son, Isaac. I've been telling you about him. Let's move to Genesis chapter 22 and take a look at this test that I've been telling you about. What a test it was. This young man, I mean, we're talking Abraham who, you know, again, was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born. And so now he's gone through several stages. There have been a number of mile markers that Isaac has reached. You know, he was weaned from his mother's breast when she was breastfeeding him. And Abraham had a great feast for his son to celebrate that weaning. More milestones reached as he grew older. And now he's a teenager, anywhere in the neighborhood of 16 years old, but a teenager. So he and Abraham have had some time to really develop a close bond. Remember, the Bible tells us that the reason God chose Abraham in the first place to be the father of many nations is because he knew that Abraham would teach his son, he would teach his family about God. He would make sure they knew God exists. They would learn to know God. They would get to know God. They would understand how he thinks. They would know what he requires. And he would teach them to please God, to live a life truly pleasing to God. And remember, in keeping with God's commandment, this requirement during this time of grace, Abraham circumcised his sons. He circumcised himself. He also circumcised all the male servants in his household. So, Isaac, growing up, as all people do, the son whom his father loved, these two growing together as father and son, developing a greater and greater love, a stronger and stronger bond. And one day, God called to Abraham. He tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about." I went into detail last week, sharing with you what those first two verses were really entailing. So I won't go into those again. Verse 3. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. It's amazing how Abraham so faithfully followed God's lead. He was living in Ur, the land of the Chaldees, when God called him and said, "Abraham, I want you to leave your land, your father's household, go to a place that I will show you." And Abraham didn't know anything about the place, but in obedience to God, he left all that God told him to leave, save he did take his nephew Lot, and he went to a place he did not know about. And now God is saying, go to the region of Moriah. When you get there, I'll tell you specifically where. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here." Now, on the third day, they had been traveling for several days in order to get to the place where God told him to take his son Isaac. A lot of significant things happening in the region of Moriah. Abraham said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you." Remember, Abraham was a prophet. He was the father of many nations, but he was also a prophet. Remember, I shared with you that when Abraham and his wife Sarai went to the land of Gerar, and the king of Abimelech saw how beautiful Sarah was, after some of the people of his land told him about her, and he took her to be his wife, one of his wives. And in the dream, God warned him that the woman he was with was married to another man, to Abram, and that Abram was a prophet. Yes, Abraham was a prophet. He was the father of many nations. He was also a prophet who understood, who could see into the future, who could see what God was showing him, who could see often what God was revealing. Now, he didn't see this coming. God never told him that the day would come that he would say, Abraham, take your son, your only son, whom you love, your son Isaac, and sacrifice him as a burnt offering unto me. God did not tell him that until he told him. He gave him no warning. He called and said, Abraham, do it. And Abraham said, okay. But notice what he said. We will worship, and then we will come back to you. He's supposed to be cutting his son Isaac up and sacrificing him as a burnt offering, burning him with the fire. And yet he's saying, we, my son and I, will come back to you. We will worship and we will come back to you. It's obvious that Abraham believed that some kind of way, even though he may have been commanded to take his son's life, and he was going to have to take his life in order to sacrifice him as a burnt offering, he believed that his son was going to live, even if it meant dying and being raised from the dead.